Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Kirloskar Oil Engines Limited Q3 FY23 conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Shah. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all to Q3 FY23 earnings call of Kirloskar Oil Engines Limited. To discuss the result from the management, we have today Ms. Gauri Kirloskar, Managing Director of the company, and Mr. Anurag Bagaria, CFO of the company. I'll hand over the call to Ms. Gauri Kirloskar for her opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Amit. Good evening. This is Gauri Kirloskar, Managing Director of Kirloskar Oil Engines. Thank you all for joining the call today. Present with me on this call is Anurag Bagaria, CFO of KOEL, Rahul Sahai, CEO B2B, Aseem Srivastava, CEO B2C, Smita Raichurkar, Company Secretary, and Amit Gupta, CFO of Arka Fincap. I will start with an overall business update, and Anurag will update you about the financial performance. Q3 has been a strong quarter for Kirloskar Oil Engines, with a 20% increase in revenue for the quarter, wherein year-to-date revenue increased by 28%. When it comes to the strong results of the quarter that went by, I cannot discount the strong demand that we saw in the market, but our teams did a stellar effort in converting the demand to numbers. It is always challenging to do so, and I would not say that the supply chain constraints are fully resolved, but we managed our execution well despite the constraints. At a standalone level, we delivered a top line of 1,000 crores for the quarter, which is a 20% growth year-on-year, and at a year-to-date level, we grew around 28% from 2,310 crores to 2,964 crores. Our focus on profitability continues. Our EBITDA rose to 108.9 crores from 50.7 crores. That is an increase of 115%. I am satisfied to see the reflection of our efforts on profitability showing in the numbers. It is a combination of our efforts around active management of raw material price fluctuations, product mix management, and volume leverages. At a consolidated level, at year-to-date, our revenue from operations saw a 28% increase from 2,840 crores to 3,640 crores. For the same period, our year-on-year net profit grew from 103 crores to 252.7 crores. That is a growth of 145%. Exports is an area that is a focus for the organization, and I had called it out as a growth driver in our 2X, 3Y strategy. Exports grew around 35% year-on-year. This is encouraging for us, and we will continue our focus here. Anurag will cover the financials in much more detail later. We have recently completed the acquisition of LGM, and it is now a 100% subsidiary of Kirloskar Oil Engines. We are now focused on bringing in our leadership and management practices into this organization, and I am very excited about LGM. We have a lot of work to do there. We are working on plant consolidation and creating a world-class manufacturing facility that has the capability to build world-class products both for domestic and global markets. Aseem and his team have a clear strategy in place, and I'm sure that our efforts both on the front end with deepening and widening and on the back end will yield results in the near future. Our LGM business recorded 128 crores of revenue for the quarter and 427 crores on a year-to-date basis. On a year-to-date basis, the revenue is up 4% year-on-year. Continued efforts on pricing and better product mix management has resulted in significant improvements in margins, and our EBITDA has turned positive 5% compared to a marginal loss in the same quarter the prior year. In my conversations over the last couple of quarters, I have been talking of some of the work that we have been doing internally within the organization around our strategy, business structures, and leadership. We have been continuing in this journey of transformation, and the team is continuing to deliver strong results through this. One of the very first things that we did as part of this company-wide transformation effort is to look at our organization to see whether we are adequately structured to deliver the growth ambitions that we have. We have actively worked on this and have made some changes to our business structures, and some of it has translated into changes in our segmental reporting. Broadly speaking, Kirloskar Oil Engines has three main business verticals, the B2B businesses, which focus on internal combustion engines and related businesses, our B2C businesses, which focus on water management solutions and agri-related businesses, and the financial services segment is the third. We acknowledge the fundamental differences in these segments and felt that it is important to structure the organization accordingly and bring in leadership who are experts in these segments. With this thought, Rahul is leading the B2B segment, Asim the B2C segment, and the ARCA team in financial services is under Vimal Bhandari. Each one of these leaders are from their respective industries, and they bring onto the table expertise and leadership for these segments. With these internal changes, it is important that we report our business as per these segments. Looking at the performance of these segments, the B2B segment clocked a revenue of 873 crores, marking 23% growth year-on-year. The B2C segment revenue was 251 crores, marking almost the same level year-on-year. Financial services booked revenue of 97 crores, which is 80% up year-on-year. As far as the immediate future is concerned, CPCB4 plus emission standards are kicking in from July of this year, and that is where the whole organization is focused. For us, this is a change that will touch our entire ecosystem, both internally and externally. From the product to manufacturing to selling to aftermarket, this calls for significant changes. We are fully geared up for this, and our entire organization is fully focused on this, and we are excited to be part of this change, as we believe that it will play a significant role in the nation's efforts around pollution and clean technology. For the long term, we will continue with our journey of business transformation and the 2X3Y strategy. We know our growth pillars and the key projects that we have to focus on. We are clear on the what, who, and how, and we will execute as per the plans that we have. We do anticipate slowdown in export markets due to the muted growth signals in many international markets, but we know our focus areas in exports and we are confident of continued growth in exports. I am very bullish about the domestic markets. I am confident of the India growth story, and we are proud to be part of that growth story by being a provider of energy solutions for customers across sectors. Recently, we launched a campaign that encapsulates who we are, which goes by the tagline, "May the power always be with you." And I truly believe that it was, is, and will be the role of Kirloskar Oil Engines plays for millions of our customers. I would like to hand over the call to Anurag to take you through the financial performance in detail.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Gauri. With all the business updates done, I will now quickly run through the financial performance for this quarter. I would first like to reiterate that this quarter performance reflects our sustained execution capabilities to deliver on the market demand and maintain a positive momentum towards double-digit EBITDA. This has been a good quarter for us. This is the second quarter in a row that we've delivered over 1,000 crores in top line for the operations. Now coming to the standalone sales performance. If you really go through the presentation that we've uploaded on our website, you will notice that we've now aligned our sales performance reporting in line with the B2B, B2C segment reporting that Gauri just explained. So now coming to the B2B segment, we witnessed 21% growth in terms of year-on-year sales. All the product lines inside B2B witnessed double-digit growth year-on-year. Our international business grew almost 35% year-on-year, and power generation grew 23% year-on-year. Those were largely the major contributors on our B2B side. The B2C segment on a standalone basis registered 9% growth year-on-year. The water management system business was relatively flat for the quarter compared to last year. But our FMS business actually grew 50% year on year. So that's the high level standalone revenue performance. Now looking at the performance details for our standalone results, revenue from operations 1,000.1 crores for Q3 FY23 versus 836.9 crores for Q3 FY22, which is a 20% increase year on year. EBITDA stood at 108.9 crores for Q3 FY23 versus 50.7 crore for Q3 FY22, which is 115% increase year on year. EBITDA margins are double digit at 10.9% for Q3 FY23 versus 6.1% for the same quarter prior year, which is approximately a 500 bips improvement. Net profit stood at INR 68.2 crores versus 25.3 crores for the same quarter last year, which is 170% increase year on year. On a YTD basis, revenue from operations is 2963.5 crores for the financial year 23 versus 2309 crores for the financial year 22, which is a 28% increase year on year. EBITDA stood at 327.8 crores YTD versus 166.2 crores YTD prior year, which is a 97% increase year on year. EBITDA margin is a healthy 11.1% for FY23 YTD versus 7.2% in the prior period. This again is a 400 bips improvement on a YTD basis. Net profit stood at 205 crores for the current financial year YTD basis versus 88.4 crores, reflecting a jump of 132% year on year on a YTD basis. We continue to remain very healthy on net working capital. Our working capital cycles are about 19 days and our net cash position, which is our strength, is well over 200 crores. Now coming to the consolidated performance for the quarter, revenue from operations stood at 1220.4 crores versus 1017.8 crores, which is again a 20% increase year on year. Net profit at 88.2 crores versus 29.1 crores for the same quarter last year reflects a 203% increase year on year. On a YTD basis, again, revenue grew 28% consolidated level, and profit grew 145% at a consolidated level. Let us now have a look at our segment performance and also reflecting back what Gauri earlier described. Our B2B segment with 873 crores revenue for the quarter grew at 23% with a segment margin of around 11%. The B2C segment revenue for the quarter stood at 251 crores, which is almost the same levels as last year, but with margin turning positive with about 4 crores contribution. The financial services business at INR 97 crore is almost 80% growth over last year. So to sum it up, I would like to reinforce our focus on the 2x3y strategy that we've been talking about. With this quarter's performance at 20% top line and about 11% EBITDA performance, I believe we are working to deliver to our strategic growth plan. With this, I conclude on the financial updates. We will now open it up for the Q&As.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is the EBITDA performance in the quarter, of course, there is a slight softness in QOQ. And I understand that...
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Mohit Kumar. Your voice is not very clear. Request you to go off the speakerphone. It's still sounding
off the speakerphone.
Yes, come a little closer to the microphone and you may go ahead.
I'm on the microphone. I'll just try again. Yes. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. And congratulations on a very good good quarter. My first question on the EBITDA. EBITDA margins has some softness QOQ. I understand that the commodity prices have been declining. So what could explain this softness quarter on quarter? Is it a product mix or?
Yeah, so largely the EBITDA is, slightly softer compared to previous quarter. We see about 20 to 30 bips versus the last quarter. And this is because of primarily two reasons. One, of course, is the mix impact, the mix leading to some kind of raw material sales price marginally increasing. But it is also, because of the increase in our employee and salaries and welfare related costs, which you can see in the financials. We are building the organization for the 2x3y that we keep talking about, and you will continue to see that cost increase as we go forward.
Understood.
This is Rahul. I just want to add to that on the mix that Anurag was talking about. If you look at our key levers that improve our profitability, the three levers are international growth, HHP, and aftermarket. And if you look at the last quarter, there has been a substantial growth in each of these businesses. And as a result, the positive mix that Anurag was talking about has had a big role to play here.
Understood, sir. How much of our revenues is broadly has exposure to CPC4 norms, and where are we in journey of developing that product, and what could be possible in price hike we need to take to protect our margins?
Yeah. So this is Rahul. Approximately 38% of our business has exposure to CPCB4 plus, and we are at the moment doing everything to ensure that we are in compliance with the norms as per the stated timelines and running the due diligence as far as our DVP and our cycles are concerned. Can you just repeat the second part of your question?
The question was how much do you think the hike needs to be taken on the product side to protect our margins? Yeah.
So at this moment, I won't get into a specific number. But a general range of 25 to 40 odd percent is something that can be expected. But we are looking at that, and the multiple calculations that we are doing in the back end right now. So I can't give a specific number at this moment.
Understood. Understood. Thank you. I'm best worker. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ranjit Sivaram from Mahindra Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congrats on good set of numbers. So couple of things when I look at it, the EBITDA margin has kind of softened compared to last quarter. So is there anything in terms of price reduction, or is it largely to do with your overall mix?
So thank you for that question. I think I just answered that same question earlier. There's a marginal EBITDA reduction versus the previous quarter. There is no price reduction at all. It's just largely the small mix changes that you see quarter on quarter, coupled with certain investments that we are making on people.
Okay. And sir, from one of your competitors, they also mentioned that data center is seeing a huge demand. So do we also supply gensets for data center market, or do we have any strategy to explore that just to get some idea? Because that's one of the largest growing market in your segment in the high horsepower.
Yeah, this is Rahul. So if you look at the data center segment, most of it is the demand is coming from 500 kV and upwards. Now, wherever we have our products in those segments, we are seeing an uptake there. And we do have thought processes on how to look at that segment, but it is something that I can't share at this moment. There is a lot of activity in the works. But rest assured, we're not ignoring that segment.
Okay, and sir, lastly, the CPCB 4+ norms are coming. So have we tested and made our product ready to market in all our nodes, or is there some percentage pending in terms of...
Mr. Sivaram, your audio is not very clear.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah, so just regarding the CPCB 4+, are we ready with the products which have been tested and ready to go to market in that stay, or is some testing still pending?
So what I can say is that we will be ready by the defined timelines. And see, emission compliances are not new for our business. We have been doing it for a while.
Okay, and we hear from the competition that there can be a 30% north of price increases post that. Is that right?
So what we anticipate is anything upwards of 25 to 40-odd%. But at this point, I can't give a clear number. But there will certainly be an increase because of the scope change.
Okay, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question on the line of Mahesh Bendre from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. For this quarter...
Mr. Bendre, the
audio is... can't hear you at all.
Request you to kindly go off the speakerphone and come on the microphone directly on the handset mode.
No, I'm on handset only. Am I audible now?
No, it's still pretty low on the call.
Hello? Am I audible?
Yes. Yeah. It's much better now.
Okay. B2C business has remained flat in quarter-on-quarter basis and YOY basis. So why this flatness?
Yeah, thanks, Mahesh. This is Aseem here. So if you see Q3, he normally very different for pump business. And this time there was extended rains, and also the GST change was there. Because of that, the pump business in Q3 has suffered. But in our case, if you see, we are flat. Some of the other companies have actually gone down.
Okay. And sir, this for B2C business, what is the mix of this? Is the entire thing is pump, or there are some other products as well?
So as Gauri said, pump and then farm mechanization. So pump and allied products and farm mechanization. That is the mix we have.
So how much will be pump approximately?
Those specifics, details I can't give right now. Yeah, thank you.
Sure. And so in terms of profitability, we have shown profit at EBIT level. So do you think this momentum will continue going forward?
Yeah. So all the initiative that Gauri mentioned, we have taken those initiative and that has resulted in this, and the momentum will continue.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, and thank you so much for taking my question. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah. So my question was regarding how do we see our FY24 and 25 planning? Like, we have been on a very good growth journey. So, our strategy of 2x in 3 years in terms of revenue. So we're targeting, I'm a bit new to the company. Sorry for the basic question. So the 2x to 3y strategy is that, we want to double our revenue in 3 years, and what sort of margins would we expect at that point of time? Thank you.
So, our strategy is very clearly laid out and has been
repeated on multiple previous calls. Gauri talks about 2x, 3y strategy and doubling our EBITDA, double-digit EBITDA over the three-year period, which is built upon, you know, driving significant improvement on customer delight and becoming an employer of choice. That is the large vision that we've laid out, and it is pretty clearly communicated over calls. If you see, our expectation is really that we will continue to outgrow the market, and that is really what we can talk about right now. You know, as you hear from us quarter on quarter, you will have to make those assessments based on the performance that we are delivering. Forward-looking statements is not something that we'd like to give.
Okay, so thank you so much. That helps a lot. So another question regarding our B2C profitability. So what we are aim for the profitability, because that is dragging down our profitability. So anything what we are targeting for our
business? Yeah, this is Aseem here again. If you see, the performance of B2C in Q3 is better, and from negative we have come positive, and that momentum will continue like that.
Oh, okay, so thank you so much. That helps me, and all the best for your future.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question on the line of Bharat Seth from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead. Mr. Bharat, can you hear us?
Yeah, sorry. Am I audible now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on our engine side business. So currently we are operating at what level and how, what kind of a room still we have?
Can you explain your question better? Are you speaking about capacities or something else?
Capacity, yeah, ma'am.
So this is Rahul. See, from a capacity standpoint, we have a fairly elaborate manufacturing footprint at Kagal.
Okay.
And we also have a plant at Nashik, where we are looking to expand our capacities further. So at the moment, we don't see any capacity constraints as we go ahead into the next year.
So my question is, what level we are operating? Because in, say, last year, it was around, say, 55%. So currently, we are operating at what level?
See, we operate at about 60-odd% of our capacities, and what I would say is that at a larger level, we don't see any capacity constraints as such.
I'm not asking, my dear, about capacity constraints, but you still, if we are operating at 60% and you are saying that we are further expanding, so what reading can we get from that? And what kind of operating leverage do we have in this engine business?
To which I answered.
No, you said 60%, but we are expanding. So if still we are expanding at 60% to 65%, why we are expanding? My question is that.
So,
we're not expanding capacity.
Yeah. See, we're not expanding our capacity or manufacturing capability.
Okay, my mistake. I heard that we are expanding. Hello?
Yes, sir. So we are not expanding our manufacturing capacity. Perhaps you thought that when I said 2x, 3y, what we mean by that is that we will grow our top line. We don't need to expand.
So, Gauri, then second question is that what kind of operating leverage, say...
Sorry to interrupt. The line for the management has dropped. Please stay connected as we reconnect the management. Over to you, ma'am.
Okay, so just in response to the last question, I just want to make clear that we are not expanding our manufacturing capacity. When we say 2x, 3y, it means that we are taking on the ambition of doubling our top line in 3 years. And to achieve this, we do not see any significant capacity enhancements required.
Fair, very great. So my question is with that related to that only, since we are operating at still around 60-65%, so once, I mean, the growing top line and further utilization, what kind of operating leverage do we have? Operating leverage in the sense that what kind of say will our other expenses and will remain at static level, almost a little static level, vis-a-vis the growth in sales will be much more than the other expenses growth.
You're absolutely right, Bharat. I think, you know, because we are not going to be making any significant capacity enhancements, you can expect that there will be better return and better operating leverage. The growth will result into higher margin, and that will flow into the bottom line. That will only, marginally get impacted by additional investments that we will make on expanding our operations through our 2X, 3Y strategy.
Okay, great. So is it possible to give some color on the quantification if possible?
I think it is early and it will not be possible to quantify that through the numbers. The focus right now is on driving top line growth, as we talked about, the 2X, 3Y, and improving our margins to double digits. That is the ambition that we are all driving towards.
Okay. Now coming back to this CPCV 4 norms, so where we understand that earlier when CPCB norm changed, it was more of a mechanization rather than electronics, but this CPCB 4 norms require a lot of electronic component. So how fairly we in this challenging situation where the electronic component availability is a bit problematic, so how do we plan to have a proper supply chain management, so in case of demand, we should be able to meet the demand fully?
Yeah, this is Rahul. So from a supply chain standpoint, we don't foresee any major challenges because bulk of our supply chain is localized in India. So unlike a lot of our competition, our supply chain and our suppliers are largely based out of India. And most of the volumes are actually tied down. So we don't foresee any major supply chain disruptions there.
Okay. Fair. And last, we were taking a lot of initiative to penetrate in US market. So what stage we are and how we expect that US market growth, not US, but developed market, sorry, Europe and USA?
Yeah. So the US market actually behaves very differently, and the certifications and compliances are different from that of India. Having said that, we have got EPA certifications for some of our products, and we are on that path. So beyond that, I won't be able to comment here.
Okay. Okay. And now coming back to this B2C business, when we have some kind of ambition of reaching, say, high single-digit margin, so in that trajectory, where we are currently, and when do we see that slowly we will be able to reach that high single digit EBIT margin?
Yeah. So this is a theme here again. So as I said earlier, that from negative we have come to positive.
Correct.
We are working on the levers like international business deepening, widening, and also on the cost side. So I'm confident in next quarters, we will see this momentum going up. Exact number, I will not be able to give you right now.
Okay. I'm asking you some kind of a timeline for high single digit EBIT margin.
No, I will not be able to give you any timeline, but I can assure you that the momentum is good and you will see that in quarters to come.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Sagar Parekh from Vana Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on this NBFC subsidiary ARCA. So I believe now we have fully invested out, I think, 1,000 crores that we were supposed to put in, right? Or is there any money pending to be put in?
Amit, do you want to respond to that? Should I?
We have 36 crores pending out of the 1,000 crore commitment.
Okay, so this 36 crores will be put up in this quarter four?
I cannot comment on that right now.
Okay, no problem. So this post this 1,000 crores, so we are looking at some kind of monetization of this for Kirloskar Oil Engine shareholders. So is there like any timeline for when can we see some kind of monetization of this asset, or you think it's still some time away?
So I can't commit to a timeline, but I will say that the commitment from COEL stands firm at 1,000 crores, and beyond that, to grow its book, ARCA FinCap will follow the normal path that an NBFC would to raise capital.
Right. So, but are we looking at any kind of demerger or something like that on the cards, or there is no thought process at the moment for that?
Mr. Parekh, I think you know very well these are things that nobody will be able to explain on a call, right? I mean, there's so much work to do before we say anything about it.
Okay, got it. My second question is on the export side. So, hello? Yeah, so my on the export front, on the quarter-on-quarter basis, we are seeing some cool-off on the exports. So if you can give some color on which are the markets or which are the product segments which are seeing some bit of demand. You mentioned in the in your initial remarks also that you are seeing some kind of pressure in terms of some products. So if you can give some color on that, and how should we think of exports? So we were when we are talking about 3x into doubling in 3 years, we were anticipating a strong traction in the exports, where we are talking about 1,500, 2,000 crores kind of level for exports. So I just wanted to get your sense on, are we on track for that? And if, these global situation does not permit, then what is our strategy in exports?
One is, I just want to clarify that what I meant in my opening statement was that we generally see a cool down happening in global markets, and that is what I mean by that is the likely recession that countries outside of India may go into. Having said that, for Kirloskar Oil Engines, even though we've seen a marginal softening in exports over the last quarter, we remain bullish, and the reason we do is because we our export revenue today as a percentage of our total revenues is still quite low, and we see many white spaces where we will be able to play as our products become ready for advanced emission norm countries. So, as you know, the emission norm CPCB4, which is hitting us in India, also helps our products gear up and be ready for international markets. Of course, there are certification processes that we will have to go through, but we remain bullish on exports.
So once the CPCB 4 plus norms kick in India, then can we assume like the takeoff in exports to be significant from India to other countries, or that certification time will still say, the process still takes a lot of time and it's like a gradual process, or how?
So I'm just going to allow Rahul to speak a little bit more on some of the strategy that we're looking at in the export markets.
Hi, this is Rahul. So if you look at the international business, what we've been seeing is we're registering a strong double-digit growth over last year. That's number one. And quarter and quarter, at times there are minor execution issues, but beyond that, we don't see any softening on the demand side. Now, if you look at the way we are approaching exports, if you look at markets, say in the Middle East or Africa, all of those markets are largely unemissionized. So all of those markets are open, and when Gauri was talking about white spaces, there are significant white spaces even there. Now, if you look at some of the advanced markets like Europe, and if you look at, say, the US, each of these markets have their own certification processes, many of which we are actively participating in, and in due course, we expect to get there as well. I can't give firm timelines, but what I can let you know is all of that is on our radar. We're extremely familiar with the volumes in each of the markets.
Sure, sure. Thanks for the elaborate answer. And my last question is on the cash. So we would be throwing a lot of cash going forward as well. And as you mentioned that we are not looking at any further capacity expansion. So can we assume that now going, and since we do not have to put in any further incremental money in ARCA except for the 36 crores, can we assume that the cash flows will be given out to the shareholders, or how do we think of the free cash flows going forward?
I think, we will not be able to give you too much forward-looking statements. In fact, none of the forward-looking statements. But I think we expect cash to continue to increase like you have seen in the past. And we will make continuous investments when it comes to technology. That is our focus.
Okay, sure. Thanks. That's it from my side.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Mahesh Bendre from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is a follow-up question. Export is contributing to roughly 13% of our sales now. So, obviously, it's where we are scaling up the business. So, are we making any, the margins are very similar to domestic, or is it, it has to reach some level from where we will make money?
Yeah, so this is Rahul. So if you look at our 2XPY, the exports is a big part of the entire top line and bottom line growth. And over a period of time, over the 2XPY, our ambition is to get to close about 30-odd% of contribution of exports, and which is what is going to deliver higher profitability for COEL as well.
Okay, sure. And sir, what kind of capital expenditure plans we have for next 2 years?
So we've been generally spending in the range of 60 to 80 crores every year. In the next year, we anticipate this number to be stable. In fact, go a little higher, because next year the cycles will be slightly more tilted towards a significant technology shift. But we will talk about the future capital investments in the future calls, not at this moment.
So this capital expenditure will be only as a maintenance capex, right?
Will be largely on sustenance capex.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Ranjit Sivaram from Mahindra Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Just wanted to understand this export strategy, because we were previously not there in various geography apart from Middle East and some places in Africa. So how do we, like, there will be some time lag between a distributor selecting our product, doing the trial runs, and then getting us empaneled, or there will be some process in that. So if you can explain, like, where are we in terms of these processes, and apart from this Middle East and Africa, which are all the major countries that we are targeting in terms of this export from 13% to 30%, which we had mentioned?
See, if you look at our exports, historically we have focused on segments like fire pumps and on the industrial engines. Now, going forward, with the emission compliances kicking in, what we're also looking at is taking our largest segment, which is power gen, the entire portfolio of those products outside India as well. So if you look at, say, the Middle East or Africa, we will continue to cater to those markets through unemissionized products. And if you look at some of the advanced countries, we will have our products which, for example, CPCB4+ would roughly be equivalent to Tier 4 Final and Euro Stage 3. So we will have our full range of products, our gensets, available for those markets as well. And as we speak, we are undergoing some certifications and approvals, etc. So if you look at some of the key markets that I outlined, Europe, US, Africa, Middle East, and Australia continue to be our focus areas.
So it will be like we will be supplying the engines and the dealer or the distributor over there will be actually assembling the alternator and packaging it as a genset, or we will be supplying the genset as such? Because here you want to purely supply the engine, the genset, the other attributes of the diesel genset in terms of alternator and other cannot be taken care by the distributor. So how does it work?
So what we will be doing is we will be taking each market and looking at tax-efficient commercial transactions. So that could range from G-drives to supplying full-fledged gensets along with the canopy and bases. It depends on the market we are targeting and what is the best commercial transaction we can execute.
Okay. And sir, for the CPCB4+ for the emission control, with which company do we have the technical understanding? Because Cummins has their own in-house emission control technologies. So for us, who are the technical partner in that emission control?
So we actually have an in-house R&D, and we have gone through every emission change with the support of our in-house R&D. So we continue to focus on that, and we're pretty confident that we will be ready as per the timelines stated.
Because it's a complete shift to an electronic drive, and you need that additional emission control catalytic converter. So that's the reason I'm again reiterating, because there the supply chain shouldn't be impacted when the demand comes.
I would like to assure you that there are similar transitions that have taken and Kirloskar Oil Engines has gone through on the off-highway side as well, which is the transition to BS4. And even in BS4, there was the after-treatment system and electronics that were there. So this is not new for us.
Okay, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Natik Mohata from Sequin Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and congratulations for a good set of numbers. Just a brief question from my side.
Your audio is a bit low. Could you kindly come closer to the microphone?
Yeah, am I audible now?
It's still pretty low.
Yeah, so good afternoon and congratulations on good set of numbers. I had just a brief question. If you could throw some light on the order book that we have and from the segments that we have these orders from, being agri and power as well as in domestic and international.
Hi, so this is Rahul. So on the B2B side, I can't get into specifics, but we continue to have a pretty strong order board and demand from key segments like construction. And if you look at some of the other segments like healthcare, hospitals, they continue to be pretty strong. So beyond that, I won't be able to get into specific numbers.
Okay. That's helpful.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Rohan from Healing Touch. Please go ahead. Mr. Rohan, can you hear us?
We have the next question from the line of Khadija Mantri from Sharekhan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening all. So I would like to know if there was a pre-buying in this quarter and if you expect pre-buying in Q4 also before implementation of CPCB 4 plus norms from July onwards.
Yeah, hi, this is Rahul. We do expect pre-buy to take place.
Okay, sir. So did you witness any pre-buying in this quarter as well?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Did you have any pre-buying in Q3 as well?
So we are seeing increase in demand. I wouldn't completely attribute that to pre-buy just yet.
Okay, sir. And also, what part of our product portfolio would be impacted by changes in this CPCB?
So all the domestic power gen that we do below 800 kilowatt would be impacted by CPCB 4 plus. That's close to about 35-40% of our business.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question. I would now like to hand it over to the management for closing comments.
Hi, this is Gauri. Thank you very much for your interest in Kirloskar Oil Engines and for joining the call today.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.